Insurance spares. Any spare part that will be used to replace a failed identical part in the operating equipment whose penalty cost for downtime is very high, but probability of it being used is very low, is classified as an insurance spare part. These spare parts are normally procured along with the equipment and are quite costly. Maximum of one or two units are held in the inventory. So similar to the capital spares, insurance spares are also similar. These spares have very low failure rate. But in the eventuality, if there is by any possibility a failure, it can really make your machine useless, in the sense that you cannot use your machine unless you have these spares. So this kind of spares are kept just to ensure that you are able to run the machine in case of failure of some critical component. Overall spares. So these are spare parts which must be replaced every time the equipment is disassembled and reassembled. This exercise has to be carried out because after use over a certain period of time, the machine loses its service level. Also, when the machine is being reconditioned or overhauled, certain components are to be replaced based on the manufacturer's recommendation. These are fast-moving spares required repetitively and not very costly. So what are the examples here? Gaskets, certain type of bearings. Like for example, when you look at a car, you look at a car engine. So when you open the engine and the crankshaft, there are bush bearings, brass bush bearings, etc. So some of these components, you have to replace them. Even the gasket, the cylinder head, there is a gasket. Once you open it, when you reassemble the engine, you have to replace it with a new gasket. So these are the overhaul spares. So whenever you overhaul the engine or overhaul the equipment, you are required to replace these parts with a new one. Rotatable spares. So these spare parts, when replaced from the fresh stock, can be repaired and rectified and put in the store for reuse. These are costly spare parts like pumps, electric motors, turbines, compressors, etc. So when you're looking at large motors, you know, which have a horsepower of like 200, 300 horsepower, etc., you are sometimes keeping this equipment in as a spare and you rotate them. So let us say that your main motor failed. You replace the motor and the failed motor is repaired and kept as a standby. You will also find this happening with the electronic equipment or the control panels of equipment. So you have the electronic cards, you know, which are used in the control panels. If there is any defect or if there is any failure, the card is removed and a new card is put there. The motherboard kind of a card, and the machine is again put to use. And in the meantime, you repair the card and keep it as a spare. You will find that even this computer repair technicians will do that. They have this, the parts. When they come to repair, they will replace the card, take away your card, which they will repair and keep it as a spare. And next time somebody has a failure, they will be using that card in the other machine wherever there is a failure. It is claimed that 10% of the value of machine is invested in spare parts at any point of time. So you can imagine the magnitude that any equipment, any machine that you have, 10% of its value is invested in spare parts. That means for every machine, you need a lot of spare parts, which will be approximately around 10% of the machine value. About 40% of the total working capital is tied up in spare parts inventory. And that's huge, because if you have large number of equipment and large number of spare parts, then 40% of your working capital could be tied up in the spare parts inventory, including the capital spares, your insurance spares, etc., which can be very, very costly. Another one-third of spare parts inventory is non-moving or obsolete. So many times it so happens that you are holding a lot of spares. Since there is no failure, these spare parts continue to lie. Sometimes the equipment is defunct, it is no longer used, it is sold out, but the spare parts continue to remain. So these are the non-moving and the obsolete spare parts. Inventory carrying cost of spares is 30% of the value of the inventory. The reason being, you know, that your raw material or the component which go into your finished product, they are regularly moving. They are fast moving. Whereas in spares, they could be lying for months or years. And that is the reason the cost you incur on them by way of the money that you block, the that is the inventory carrying cost, the store cost, the insurance cost. So all these costs put together will be almost 30% of the value of the inventory. Lead times are long and prices are exorbitant. We already saw that for spares, you have to always start from identifying the supplier, getting multiple quotations, finalizing, negotiating, and then ordering the material. So the lead times are high. OEMs do not keep adequate inventory of spares. So sometimes OEMs are able to supply the spares, but if the model is old, many a times they do not keep spares. So after a while, at times OEMs will tell you that, sorry, we no longer keep spares of this particular model that you have or the equipment that you have. So this is another reason why you're forced to hold some spares. Many times equipment has to be scrapped as spares are not available. So there have been instances where the support from the manufacturer was not there because they said, we have discontinued this model many years ago and now we don't have spare parts. So in case there is a failure, we will not be able to support your equipment. Now in such a case, if you don't get the spare parts and if there is a breakdown, you have no option but to scrap the equipment and replace it with a new one. So spare parts planning depends on location of the business unit. So if you are located in a metropolitan region, you are better placed, you will get the spare parts, etc. easily. But if you are in a remote place, maybe some of the spares may not be easily available. You may have to call for the spares from the nearest city or the nearest metro in some cases. Indigenous or imported spare parts. So indigenous spare parts, they are easier to get, less complication. Imported spare parts, one, they are more expensive. They have longer transit time because either you have to bring it by sea if it's a large component. If you bring it by air, there is a significant cost. And then there is the process of custom clearance, etc. Sophistication of the industry and degree of automation. So if you have very high sophistication and the automation is of a very high level, the spares may not be easily available. Also, the quality of the spares required for this kind of machines has to be very, very high quality. Like for example, you have certain spares for CNC machines, etc. So you cannot get these spares easily. And most of the times you will have to get it from the OEM supplier. Service level desired. So if the service level desired is high, then you will have to keep high number of spares to ensure that you are able to immediately replace the defective part and get the machine back into service. Else, if you have to get the component from the OEM manufacturer or from some other supplier, it can cause costly delays. So service level also decides the spare part planning. Relevant costs. Spares that have high ordering cost or high stock out cost have to be held generously. So we already saw, you know, the capital spares and the insurance spares, and also spares, you know, which are to be imported. So here you will have to be a little generous. Also, if you bring more numbers at a time, it may be cheaper, both in terms of the logistics and in terms of, let's say, the custom clearance, etc. because the effort would be the same whether you're bringing one component or three components. So all these factors will decide your space planning. 8 methods used by business units for planning of spare parts. So many times the demand for spare parts follows Poisson distribution. So this can be used for determining the usage rate. So Poisson distribution is something similar to the normal distribution, where the failure rate can be fairly predicted. There can be components which can fail early. There can be components which can fail a little late. But more or less, they follow a distribution where you can predict what will be the failure time, mean time between failures, etc. Number 2, selecting inventory control techniques discussed earlier. So you can use various inventory control techniques, which we have discussed in the earlier chapters. The formula K square root D is often used to determine the inventory level, where K is the service level constant and D is the lead time in consumption units. So how many units you consume in the lead time it takes to replenish the stock. So K is the service level constant. So higher the service level requirement, higher will be K. And if the service level requirement is low, if the component is not very crucial, then the K will be a smaller value. So you use this formula to arrive at what is the kind of spares inventory that you are supposed to hold. Failure rate bathtub curve is also frequently used to determine the wear-in period or period of infant mortality, normal operation period, period of adult life, wear-out period, and period of old age mortality. So in the bathtub method, which we will see, there are chances that there is a infant mortality. That means a component which is supposed to have a life of, let's say, 2 years, sometimes can happen that it will fail immediately. Now, this can be due to multiple factors. Let us say that you have replaced the spare, but the reason for the failure of the spare was, let's say, some misalignment in the machine or some imbalance created in the machine. So in such a case, the new component or spare that you have fitted into the equipment will also tend to fail. Then, of course, there is a relatively low failure rate up to a certain point where the wear and tear and the life of the equipment, you know, achieves the maturity. And then based on the life of the equipment, it can fail and the frequency of the failure starts to go up. So this is the bathtub curve, and this can be used to, you know, estimate the consumption of the spares, and accordingly the inventory can be designed. So for planning of rotatable spares, queuing theory is available. So rotatable spares, as we said, we remove the spare, we repair it, and we keep it. So here, the queuing theory, that means what is the failure rate and what is the time required to repair that particular spare which we have removed. So based on that, you can decide how many numbers you should have. So if you find that the frequency or the lead time for repairing it is very short and the failure rate is large, then just having one spare will do the job. But if the failure rate is high, or let's say that the lead time for repair is very, very high, then you will require multiple units. For insurance or capital spares, cost benefit analysis is relevant. You have to do a cost benefit analysis to say, is it worthwhile carrying very expensive inventory of spares that you may or may not require? But in case there is a failure, it will save you. So this is something which is the management has to decide, whether you would like to hold the inventory incurring a huge cost, or whether you would like to decide not to hold that inventory and take a stand or try to repair the component which has failed when there is a failure. Forecasting methods like moving average or exponential smoothing are also used in spare parts planning. So these methods which are used for raw material forecasting, they are also used for the spare parts. When new machine or equipment is being purchased, check with the OEM for suggested spare parts that would be required during the working life of the asset. This list is a useful document in planning for spares. So most companies, most equipment suppliers will tell you what are the spares you should buy with the machine. Sometimes, of course, it's a ploy to also sell more spares to you than what may be required. Maybe you can take reference from the industry, from other users, and accordingly decide what spares should be bought along with the equipment. For procuring the required spare parts, there are four options available. So repair the spare part which has failed. So in case you don't want to go for capital spares or insurance spares, one option available is to repair the spare part which has failed. I remember that for the rolling mill, we used to have an electric motor which had 750 horsepower. Now you cannot keep a insurance spare or a capital spare for this kind of a motor. So during the prolonged holidays like Diwali, etc., we used to dismantle the motor, we used to remove the rotor, and we used to send it out for repair. And we used to repair it and bring it back so that, you know, there is no failure in between. Manufacture fresh spare parts in the workshop. So many a times these spare parts are not very difficult to manufacture. So we keep certain steel rods or blocks in the workshop, and these can be manufactured using simple machines like lathe or milling machines, drills, etc. So this is another strategy. Locate a local supplier who has the spare part and buy. So suppose the kind of equipment you have, there are other people in the market who are using similar equipment or the same equipment. So in that case, the spares may be available with a local supplier or an importer who has been servicing this kind of equipment, and you can buy it from them. And the fourth approach is that you approach the OEM to procure the spare, because if they are proprietary kind of spares which are unique to the machine, the OEM can in certain cases supply this spares. Costs associated with procuring and maintaining spare parts. So what are the costs involved in procurement and maintenance of the spare parts? So cost of capital. We have already seen that, you know, we are blocking the working capital, and that working capital comes at a cost. And we saw that that cost can be anywhere between 10% and 14 or 15%. Ordering cost. As we saw, there is a longer ordering cost or a larger ordering cost, because every time you have to look for suppliers, you have to ask for quotations, negotiation has to be done, order has to be placed. So even if the cost of the material is not too high, the ordering cost sometimes becomes significant. Third one is the holding cost, because you're not certain what will be the life of that spare part which is there in the equipment or when it will fail. So you are holding the inventory, and sometimes that holding can be for a couple of years. Material handling cost. So even when you are handling the material, you are receiving the material, you are storing the material, that cost gets added. Security cost. Security cost is your stores, your security, and your insurance cost. Human resource cost. There will be regular physical inventory checks, audits of the inventory being done. So there is a human resource which is involved in keeping the area clean. So sometimes, you know, you will find that the stores people will go, there can be dust accumulation, etc. So they will go and clean the spare parts, clean the bins, all these things. Information systems, because even when you have, you know, the computer systems, ERP systems, there is a cost to it. So when you are keeping the spares, tracking the consumption, etc., there is a IT cost which is getting incurred. Every rupee invested in spare inventory represents another rupee that has to be borrowed somewhere else. So we have already seen this, that whenever you are keeping any inventory, be it spares, be it raw material, be it operating supplies, you are borrowing that money. And that's an opportunity lost, because that money could have been used productively elsewhere. So it is money borrowed from somewhere else, and that money is going to cost you. The variety adds to the obsolescence. So more is the variety of spares that you are holding, higher is the risk of obsolescence. There is only one way to get rid of obsolete spare parts, and that is to sell them with other scrap generated by the business unit. One way is to sell it as scrap rather than carry the inventory, block the working capital, etc. The other thing could be, you can try and sell it to people who have a need for that kind of a spare. Especially in India, we know that there are people who continue to use equipment for decades together. So you can always find an opportunity where you can sell this kind of spares to other people who may be having similar equipment. We come to the end of this chapter. Thank you.